Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I've got a very talented and sweet lady. I've been following her career for years. Been a big fan. You might know her from Saturday Night Live. I love her in the movie UHF. Hey, she's got a brand new album out. Her name is Victoria Jackson. New album comes out Friday called When I Get to Nashville. Super talented lady. So sweet. Here she is, Victoria Jackson. You were on Saturday Night Live on the best time that they ever had. I mean, the best bunch of people that I ever watched on Saturday Night Live was during the time you were on there. And I remember at school the next, you know, it was Saturday night. So Monday morning, we'd all talk about what happened on Saturday Night Live. And one of my favorite things was Toonsis the cat. I love Toonsis. But I mean, I loved all those skits. You know, I'm sure you had a wonderful time back in those days, right?
Gary, have we started our interview yet?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Saturday Night Live was very exciting and very stressful because we were supposed to write our own material and compete against our cast members for airtime. But it was very exciting. I don't think I could do it now that I'm old. I don't have the energy. We didn't sleep very much, so.
So you had to prepare for the whole week, and you had to learn lines and learn. You would write it out, learn it, and all that stuff, like the whole week, right?
No, we did. What we did was we would write it on Monday and Tuesday, and then read them out loud on Wednesday, and then block them on Thursday and Friday, and then do it on Saturday for dress rehearsal and then for a live show.
Oh, cool. And there had to be a lot of excitement whenever you came out, when it was live, and you're like, oh boy, this is it. You know, it's a big deal. A lot of people watching.
Yeah, we were just focused, you know. You don't really think about a lot of people watching. You just think about doing your job and not getting fired.
I understand that. So, you know, and I'm thinking of all the people, all the people that were stars that were on there, the guest stars and the musicians and the people like Phil Hartman, who I love. I know you miss that guy. What a talented guy there. You know, I mean, I'm just saying there's so many talented people, and I always wondered about how they were. Was Phil Hartman super nice guy that he seemed to be?
He was kind of, I didn't get to know him well because we didn't really hang out. We just kind of went to work and went back home, and I had a baby then, so I didn't want to miss her first step or her first word, so I would rush home. But there was a lot of talented people, and I got spoiled because Dana and Kevin and John Lovitz used to try to think up ideas, and they'd be in their office riffing off each other, and I got to watch them, and I would just laugh all day long. I had nothing to add. I would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And then when I left the show and I went back to the real world, I was like, wow, normal people are boring.
Yeah, right. They are.
I'm not laughing at anything.
They're not. But you know what? I think you're right about that. You ever think like that? You know, some people just don't get you in life. I think sometimes you might say something, do something. And I think social media kind of puts a big question mark because you can't see the person's reaction. So if you try to say something funny on there and nobody responds, you're like, I'm a goofball. They don't like me. You know, and it's like this mental thing. You're like, you're thinking, and I overthink, and I'm thinking, did I say something wrong? Did I do? And they're not even caring. They're, you know, they're knitting or something or eating some, you know, Pop-Tarts or something. They don't care about what you posted. You know, and I overthink stuff like that. But I think being around people and seeing the fun and that they're doing and experiencing all that, like you said with Dana Carvey, I always like to try to do my impression of his impressions, like George Bush, you know, like,
let's hear your impression.
Not gonna do it.
Or Johnny Carson, you know, when he would go like,
it was so hot, I saw Ed frying a worm on a sidewalk. No, that's not even right. But
was that good?
Okay, but here's one.
Better than mine.
Here's one you might like. This one, Casey Kasem. This is my go-to impression. You ready?
And now moving up two notches this week to number two, here's Victoria Jackson with Whoop-Dee-Doo.
No, I don't know. No?
With
yeah?
Her new,
no.
With her new album. Moving
with her
up
new album.
Starts.
And let's, I want to talk about that because, you know, I always thought it was cool that you and Johnny Carson liked you. What did Johnny Carson see in you that made him so happy? Because you were on there like 20 times, I think. Why did Johnny Carson like you so much?
That is a good question. Why do you think? My daughter said, Mommy, you were hot and blonde. No one cared what you were saying.
She's right. Like, No, I'm kidding.
That's not, honey.
That's
no,
not true.
Know. I don't know why Johnny liked me, except that he was originally a magician. And my dad was in vaudeville. And my first stand-up comedy routine that was 6 minutes, how I got on there, was kind of like vaudeville because it involved doing poetry upside down in a handstand. And, you know, that was kind of vaudevillian-ish, I guess. But the guy who discovered me for The Tonight Show, Jim McCauley, when he was opening the curtain to let me go out, I was waiting to hear my name called, my first Tonight Show, and he was holding the curtain to pull it back, and he was shaking. And I said, why are you shaking? I'm the one who has to go out there. And he said, because if Johnny doesn't like you, I lose my job. And he didn't know if Johnny would or not, because no one could figure out, is she a good singer or a bad singer? Is she a bad singer who knows she's a bad singer? Is she really an airhead, or is she really smart pretending to be an airhead? And so, but he was, it was very nice that he did not lose his job, and Johnny gave me the okay sign. And so that was good. That was the first exciting thing that happened in my career.
That's awesome. And I remember those moments, but I used to do the handstands and you would sing the songs and stuff, which you're still doing with the ukulele and things like that. I'm glad you're still doing all that stuff. Oh,
on my new album that we're plugging today, here's me on Music Row in Nashville, where I've lived 11 years. Here's my ukulele and there's my handstand. And I'm very excited because I've never made a music CD before. I made one, but it wasn't with real musicians. It was just me and my uke because I had written over 100 songs. And, not, you know, Dolly Parton has a pretty voice. I have a comedy voice. But I love songwriting. I've done it since I was about 10. And here's the inside. This handstand, I did, my kids are sitting over here, but you can't see them. This was in about the 90s when I was doing stand-up at Zany's, and I took my kids all around Nashville with me. And wow. This is actually my daughter, Aubrey, when she first moved to Nashville 11 years ago, and she started going to Trevecca University, and we followed our kids here. And this is me in front of the Minnie Pearl statue.
Yeah.
And because I have a song called Minnie Pearl, and this handstand is in front of the Ryman. Let me see this way. This is the Ryman. You can see the word Ryman, and there's a tiny handstand right there. So yeah, I it means a lot to me because my dad was a gymnastics coach and the only thing he gave me that I grew up with was, well, you can't do much with gymnastic training, 18 years of it, because you peak at 14. I didn't make the Olympics. I made the small college nationals. And the only thing you can be is a gymnastics coach. And I didn't want to be one, because all my dad did all day was say, straighten your knees, point your toes, straighten your knees, point your toes. I'm like, so it's very interesting and exciting that I figured out a way to use the handstand, which was the trick we seemed to do on the beam and the bars on the floor X and vaulting everywhere. And I could hold it for a long time. And because I had hours to kill in the gym when I was a child, so I'd kick up and fall down, kick up and fall down. See my statue right over there, the handstand? So I have a collection of them. Oh, I'll show you another one. This one's funny. This one's pretty funny. This one, you know, it's hard to find them. This is
cool.
A frog on a chair. Actually, my first acting job was in Birmingham, Alabama, where you're from, Alabama.
Right.
And I was doing a handstand on a chair to get the attention of Johnny Crawford, who was in The Rifleman. He was a child star. And right. He was flown in to be the lead of Meet Me in St. Louis. And I had made it to the chorus line. And I was getting his attention. And he invited me to be in his nightclub act in Hollywood. And he sent me a one-way ticket to go there. And I got my parents' permission. And the rest is history. But this is me as an old lady doing one in Wisconsin. Oh, wow. The girth of my stomach is a little thicker here. when I was young.
It's I all got good.
Every age from every city I've gone to. It's a really fun collection. But the meaning of it is, when I went to Hollywood, I thought, how can I get this commercial audition? All these beautiful blonde 20-year-olds were in the room. I was like, how can I stand out with them? I thought, there's one thing I can do that they can't do. I could probably hold a handstand longer than them. So I would say the lines upside down, and it worked some of the time. Some of the time, my agent called me once and he said, I can't sell you as a serious actress if you keep doing handstands on desks. Stop doing that. So anyway.
You do what you're good at. That's what you were good. That's what you were doing. I mean, you can't help it.
Yes, you're right. They said, write what you know. And that's all I knew. So I wrote it.
And you did it. It must have worked. So how did you go from doing the Tonight Show to Saturday Night Live? I guess somebody saw you and said,
guess what my phone just said?
What did your phone say?
Elon Musk started following me.
Oh, wow.
That is so cool.
Wow.
Elon Musk? Maybe it's a fake Elon Musk.
See if it's got the little check. Speaking of check, tell Elon to send me a check. Hey, tell him he's got a few dollars to spare. I'm just.
Well, he's an interesting guy, but.
Yes, he is.
What are your other questions? Gary, I just want to say officially, I really appreciate how you watch what I'm doing and you write nice comments. You're a very, very sweet person. And China Phillips, California Preaching. Yeah, you know,
I love her.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a guy that knows China, a guy named Jeff Panzer, who directed her video with Wilson Phillips. Jeff Panzer. Yeah. So the next time you see her, say Jeff Panzer says hello. But
okay. I'm doing her Bible study now.
That's cool. That's
California Healing.
Talking about that, you know, I always get on there and you're excited and y'all, you know, sometimes I'll peek in and see what you ladies are discussing. And you know, I'm gonna find out the truth about women. No, I never do though. I never do. But there's all kinds of stuff going on, and I'm like, and sometimes I'll say, what about the men? The poor men are out in the gutter somewhere crying, trying to get somebody to pray for them, because all the women are praying for each other. The men are just left out in the streets in the cold, hoping.
No, there's actually a men's group.
Oh, is there? Okay, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
sorry.
If you want to join it, I can give you the info.
Yeah, I think I told China on one of those things. I said that her husband should lead a group, you know, and I know.
Yes, but there's one problem. Billy Baldwin, her husband, isn't a born again Christian yet. Mm-hmm. So he's not interested. We're praying for him.
And see, maybe I'm looking at through the eyes of faith. I'm looking in the future and I'm seeing it, which by the way, I do see that happening. And I know his brother is an actor, Christian actor.
Stephen Baldwin.
Yes. So I know that that's going to happen. But anyway, but talking about Saturday Night Live, though, you're doing handstands and you're doing funny stuff. They had to have noticed that. And that's how somebody must have saw you and said, I want this lady on the show. How did that happen?
I think Lorne Michaels might have seen me on Johnny Carson because he offered me an audition out of the blue. It didn't even go through my agent, William Morris. I don't know how they got my home phone number and they said, would you like to audition for SNL tomorrow? I was like, okay. And I was 26 and I had a 3-month-old baby and they flew me to New York and I auditioned and that was exciting.
Awesome. And the rest is history. And you went through those years of all the fun and cool skits and Dennis Miller doing the Weekend Update, and you would do your little shtick and you would do the handstand and all and the American flag and all that stuff. Yeah, I remember all those.
Yeah, I can never do that now. I lost my handstand when I was 60 and now I'm 64. And surprisingly, it hurt my back. My back muscles aren't you? I don't know. And my wrists, they were like, don't put all that weight on us. Ouch. I lost my round off flip flop back when I was about 40. This is how my dad used to talk. He was a gym coach. Yeah, I lost my handstand at 60. Yeah. Lost my cartwheel at 18, 25.
Well, that's not easy to do. I could never do that. I'd hurt myself if I ever tried to do all that stuff. I couldn't.
I think this would be a good stocking stuffer.
I think you're right. So tell me about that now. These songs, yes. Were these older songs that you had written, or how did that come about?
Okay, what happened was I wrote songs my whole life. I sang some on Johnny Carson. Use Me, the boyfriend song. I sang some on Saturday Night Live, the boyfriend song with Willie Nelson, and I sang Where Do You Draw the Line Between Love and Adultery. If you're a friend of mine, can't I hold your hand? Where do you draw the line? So I sang that. And so then we moved to Nashville to follow our grandchildren here about 11 years ago. And I thought, well, what am I going to do in Nashville? I thought, well, there's my two favorite things here. There's Elon Musk answered my.
Is it him? I want to find out. Let's see if it's him. Check it out.
Because it says he has to okay you. How are you doing today? I should say, see, this is happening in real time.
Are asking you if he's related to Jovan Musk.
Real. Now, I know he's not flirting with me because he goes for young women and I'm old, so.
Oh.
He must want me to go in outer space or something. Are you the real Elon Musk?
I'm sure he's going to tell you the truth if it's a fake one.
That's a good point.
Elon Musk. He's musky. But anyway.
So,
go ahead with your songs.
This is what I'm trying to sell this month. I'm going on all these shows to, and I hate selling things.
Oh, but come on.
This is my COVID cough. It's lasted 4 months. So anyway, when I moved here to be near my grandkids, I was like, Nashville has my two favorite things, Jesus and show business, music. And so I thought, well, I want to sing at the Grand Ole Opry. I've sung on Johnny Carson. I've sung on SNL. Why can't I sing at the Opry? All you got to do is start singing like that.
That's right.
So, yeah. Talking like you talk.
That's right. I talk like this all the time, girl. Woo-wee.
Yeah.
Not really.
So, yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, and so, secretly.
So I thought, well, I don't know who to call. I have no contacts with the Opry or anything. So I did a movie with Ray Stevens, and it was a comedy called Campin' Buddies. And when we were on the set for hours and hours, I told him and his friend Buddy, Kolb, you know, I wrote some songs. Ray Stevens wrote Everything is Beautiful.
Yes, great song. And Day the Squirrel Went Berserk.
That's right. And The Streak. And
yeah, Me Again, Margaret. Oh, yeah. Miss Me Again, Margaret.
Yeah. And so I told him I write songs. And then I said, here's one I'm writing right now. It's called When I Get to Nashville. which is the title and the first song, When I Get to Nashville. And awesome. You can get it on streaming on Amazon, or I can send you one if you go to my website, victoriajackson.com. But anyway, and so a buddy goes, can I fiddle around with this song and bring it back to you tomorrow? And I said, sure, because he's a real songwriter. Ray and him write together. And the next day he comes back, and it was way better. It was way better. And I was like, thank you. So it goes, when I get to Nashville, I'm going to make a splash. I'll dress up all in sequins or in black like Johnny Cash. Or let Manuel make me something swell and give him all a thrill. I'm going to be a country star when I get to Nashville. And it kind of goes that. So then I thought a lot of people could relate to that song because a lot of people move here for that.
Yes, they do.
So then I wrote some other songs. I had some tragedies happen. My mom died, my dad died, my brother died. You know, because you've been commenting on all my posts. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think all good art comes from pain. So I used my pain and I pour it out. My pain, I pour it out in poems and songs. And all of a sudden, I had 18 songs, and I met Mason. I met Jim McBurney, and he let me record in his house. And then, anyway, it's the first time I've ever done this. I'm very excited about it to see if people like it. It's comedy music, sad, happy, and feelings that are hard to explain. That's the funnest thing to write in a song. It's like when you feel this thing that's hard to put into words. And right. you think about it for a long time. And then one day it comes out in a poem or a song. Speaking of my album, which we're supposed to be selling right now.
Yes.
So I can pay the rent.
exactly.
So I have the gospel snuck into one of my songs here.
Okay.
I snuck in Ephesians 2:8-9 to one of my songs because of the verse, in all thy ways acknowledge him.
Right.
And he can direct thy path. So I'm like, Lord, what should I do with my life? Where should I go? Who am I? What do you want me to do? He's like, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So I try to acknowledge Jesus in everything I do. And so that's why I put him in my album. Also, because my main goal in life is to be a soul winner. That means to lead souls to Christ. The song that it's in is called Dear God. Can I sing a little of it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it goes, people point their finger. Oh, on my album, there's real musicians. It's not just my bad voice and my uke. Okay, there's like real music. Okay, people point their fingers and tell me that I'm wrong. Turn their head away, say I don't belong. Cover up their ears, they don't want to hear my song. But I'm doing the best I can, dear God. Let me lower it. I'm writing you this letter because I know you're real. No one understands me, but you know how I feel. I try to be like you and walk the straight and narrow way, but I keep falling down. So that's why I must say, dear God, I'm doing the best I can. Doing the best I can, love me. And then I go, now, Lord, I know we don't get to heaven by good works. We can never be perfect enough for a holy God. And I know Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'm just saying, Lord, that I want to be good. I want to be like you because I love you. But it's so hard. Thank you for being patient with me. Soon I will be home and get to rest my feet. I can't imagine heaven, but I know it's sweet. While I'm on this journey, let me still repeat, I'm doing the best I can, dear God, I'm doing the best I can, doing the best I can, love me.
Yes, very good. Bravo, bravo. That's
halo.
Good.
Look at the.
Is that a halo? You have a halo?
Lord, coming into our.
That's what that's Matthew 18.
That's China Phillips.
That's
thing.
Very good. Matthew 18, 19, right?
What is Matthew 18, 19?
About where two people is touching anything that they say, it shall be done, right?
Where two or more are gathered in my name, that I will be with you. That's really cool. That's like the Holy Spirit just came in here. Look at that.
Like a rainbow.
I love it. I wonder if this is real Elon Musk.
I think you need to investigate. I think, is there a blue check beside the name or what?
It says, I said, are you the real Elon Musk? And he goes,
yes.
I don't understand the fact that you're a skeptical person, Victoria Jackson, but actually you're wrong about me. Yes, I do agree on the fact that internet trolls has imposed. It might be a fake.
Doesn't He's from Nigeria. Yeah.
He didn't even use correct English.
Hey, but he really is from South America, South Africa, I think.
Oh,
so
yeah.
But he can't fool you. Darn.
We're talking about light and darkness. You know, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Ooh. I wanted to read you a poem I wrote the other day.
Go ahead.
Okay, but what were you going to say before I said that?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about, China Phillips. She had something on her channel one time and some where you could win like a CD. Anyway, I won it like a couple of years ago and she sent me the CD with her autograph. It's a Christian CD that she did and she sent it to me. And this was before y'all got together. I was like, it must have been because I was thinking, because if you, I don't know if you remember this, but I saw a fall in her and I was thinking, man, y'all, you and her need to get together. I would, you know. I may have said something, but I'm just saying I could just see both of y'all working together. There's a few other people I've had in mind that I thought that would make a good team. Yeah. Maybe I'll let you know.
Well, I was so proud of her for telling the gospel. It's career suicide to be a public Christian sometimes. And I was just so proud of her. And I was like, how can I donate to her California preaching? And I went to her little links and I was like, oh, I could be in that little group called California Healing. And right. I'm not really a big women's group person, but I joined it and I've been every Sunday to the Zoom call for over a year.
Wow.
And it's growing so fast that she needed more leaders for more groups. So I volunteered and my group started last Thursday. It's called the Victory Group.
Awesome.
And we pray for each other. We read the Bible. Today we had a word feast. We read the Bible at noon together out loud on a thread on the phone.
Cool.
So can I read you my new poem?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was going to show you this kitten, but okay. It's not a great poem. It's just my most recent. And it has to do with the sun coming in as soon as we were talking about God. And also, it reminded me of this poem because the other night I was looking at Orion's belt, which is the only star thing that I can recognize, the three little stars in a row.
Orion's belt. I do.
And so I wrote this. God winked at me. Now, there's a guy who wrote a book called God Winks. Forgot his name. But
I've heard it.
Yeah. He calls them God winks. So I put God winked at me. Now don't be jealous. God winked at me. I saw a speck of his giant glory. Looking up at night sky, Orion's belt held my eye. And as I let my thoughts get still on my walk, I said, now you talk. My dog was sniffing a scent by a tree. The chill in the air wrapped its hope around me. Conversations were spinning in my head when I paused to think of God instead. And as soon as I asked him to speak to me, a shooting star spectacularly flashed across Orion's belt. God's presence and love I saw and felt. He said it loud but silently. In a moment, divinity showed me a speck of his giant glory. Don't be jealous. God winked at me.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's good. Well, that's really good.
I just, really well, thanks. I don't know if it's good. It's just I wanted to write it down so that I wouldn't forget, because it was so exciting. Like I was, you know, walking the dog and, you know, your head's like, did I say the right thing? What do I have to do more? And then I just got still and I was like, okay, God, you talk to me. And I was just looking at Orion's belt. And then he sent a shooting star right through it. And I was like, I mean, people could say it's a coincidence, but yeah, if you're a Christian, you think you call it a God incidence. And I think sometimes he reminds us that he's watching us and he's real and he loves us.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to keep you or anything, but your new album, what is coming out this week, right?
Yeah, this week. It comes out November 10th, this Friday, I think.
Friday.
And yeah, on Amazon. And, you know, that's the one, the cyberspace album. And this is one you can touch. You can get
I like the ones you can, yeah. You can look at the pictures and look and see all who wrote what and who played what and who did whatever.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all those songs. I appreciate
you. Send you a free one.
You give me a free one?
Yes, give me your address when we end the show right now.
I will do it. And I will say goodbye to you, but I won't leave. I'll just stop this recording.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on. And thank you for saying all those sweet, encouraging comments through the years. I don't know how long you've known about me, but you've been putting nice things on my posts.
Well, it's all sincere and it's all true what I say. And I will say this, I watched you through a lot of hard stuff. I know you had cancer. I had thyroid cancer in my throat, and I was healed at a church. So God has a reason. What the devil often attacks you where you use your voice or you use whatever you do, he attacks you. But so I was healed in a church. So, you know, I got to give it back to God. So, but seeing you, you know, you're overcoming everything, you know, with the cancer and your mama, sweet, super sweet lady. I feel like I was there. I love her. I still love her. And she was a mess. And she, y'all had a great time. Just every time you did a video, that's why I was there. Cause I always thought I felt like I lived there, like I was your neighbor or something, but it was super sweet. I always praying for you. I know you, with your brother and everything that you've been through. And I know God has had his hand on you and will here on out. And I know good things are coming. And I do believe this CD will change some people. I think they'll start taking notice of you for the right reason instead of whatever garbage that they try to find about you. Promise you.
Gary, you're so encouraging. That's one of your gifts. You're a great songwriter and you have the gift of encouragement. And I appreciate you, man.
Well, I appreciate you.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to check out Victoria's brand new album called When I Get to Nashville. And check her out on social media and their website. And she's going to send me a free CD. I'm going to check it out. I can't wait. And thanks for listening. And always remember to keep the music real.